Thank you. You may be seated. There is a handout sheet in the bulletin if you do care to follow along. Let me see if we get things all around here. I was thinking, actually, at the end of last week, the beginning of this week, about really what the Lord would have me to share with you. And I was thinking on Isaiah 6 in that phrase, and that's why I titled this, Here I Am, Lord. But before we get to that part, I think there's some things that we have to understand. Isaiah is an interesting person in the Bible. And this passage has some interesting things in that I think sometimes as we read through it, first of all, we always look at verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne and high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And so you're getting this idea of who God is and how glorious he is. And I think there's a lot of other stuff there. And we look at Isaiah's life, we realize that he is a prophet. And I think he is an example to all of us of what patriotism and ministry is. As a matter of fact, for the believer, I think it's inseparable. Let me say that again. I think it's inseparable. I think that our walk with God, our fellowship with God, shows up in our love for our country, our love for our countrymen, and our desire for our country and countrymen. If we look at the prophet Isaiah, I think that we can see in this passage a sequence of events that need to take place if you and me are to be the people of God that God wants us to be. I find that challenging. A lot of times what happens is a person becomes a Christian, and I think if you read biographies of great Christian men over the years, as they evangelized an area always improved morally, economically, as the gospel affected that area. Because you had people that got saved. And you had people that became responsible. You had people that, people would become responsible for their families. They became responsible to their work ethic. They became responsible in a moral sense. And as I rehearsed those thoughts this week, I realized that there's something wrong in our country. We claim to be a Christian nation. We have discussions on that. And yet, we almost, I'll just share my heart with you in the beginning. It's almost like we see a powerless gospel today. Because we have an awful lot of people who claim that they're Christians that take no responsibility for their lives. They take no responsibility for their families. They work harder at getting out of work than they do seeking work. And yet, I will admit to you, as pastor of this church, I get a steady stream of people off the street that claim they know Jesus and yet don't want to work, don't care about responsibility in their lives. I think our nation's in trouble. I don't want to, I sound just, oh, it's like, oh. So I laid that on you, sitting there going, please say something exciting. And, okay, we're going to, because I think what we have to do is we have to get past that, first of all, okay? We have to get past the point in our own lives where we quit making excuses for people who have, I'll put it to you like this. Well, you know, that person used to attend church a long time ago. That person prayed a prayer a long time ago, and yet they find themselves not in fellowship with God at all. We have to start asking some serious questions. I think Isaiah answers those questions. Let's put it that way. And I think that what we see, and I want to be careful, first of all, not to say anything that's not in the Word of God. James Orr stated about Isaiah in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, it says this, Isaiah, apparently while worshiping in the temple, received a call to prophetic office. And it came in the form of a vision, and that's what we have here in Isaiah 6. That's why it's so exciting. And Uzziah had been a godly king in spite of his sinful intrusion into the priest's office 10 years prior to his death. For this act of rebellion, he'd been struck with leprosy and lived in isolation in the time of his death. And from that time of King Uzziah, when he was struck with leprosy, there was a hole in the nation in the area of leadership. And the nation was in a downward spiral. And we understand what that downward spiral is, don't you? Walking away from God. And anytime people walk away from God, their lives don't get better. Their lives don't become holy. The opposite takes place, correct? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so, nevertheless, Isaiah recognized that with the passing of Uzziah, the nation of Israel was in trouble from a human standpoint. No leader appeared on the scene who seemed capable of reversing a process of decadence that had already begun during Uzziah's years of isolation. Thus, burdened and overwrought with the pressures of the hour, Isaiah came to the temple to pray. It was here in Solomon's temple that he had a vision of God, which gave him a renewed concept of who God was. Now, that's my introduction. Okay? Now, I find it interesting that as we look at just a little bit of background, as we set the table here, it was let me get my thing here. Where did I put it? I'll just go to number one right away because I'm going to say it anyways. In a time of national tragedy, it was Isaiah that looked around and saw the tragedy, and where did he find himself? He found himself where he needed to be, and he found himself in the temple. He found himself looking for God. That's where he was looking for God. I find that very interesting. Because you have to admit is that I don't know if I've ever read Isaiah chapter 6 where I really thought of it on the scale of the national tragedy that it was. You know, we just think, oh, that's King Uzziah. Oh, he died. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lift up. Oh, that's wonderful. That's anything but wonderful. That is an absolute, utter tragedy. And so what we have to do is put ourselves in that frame of mind. Let me ask them, where do you go in time of tragedy? You say, well, Pastor, I've really not had any tragedy in my life. Okay, that may be so, right? But when tragedy comes, where are you going? Well, let's just rehearse a few things here this morning. Us as Christians today, I hope you're here today to worship the Lord. I'm assuming that. Amen? I'm not speaking down to you. Speaking eyeball to eyeball. Okay? Okay? Hopefully, we know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. Hopefully, that we're genuine and we're born again. Amen? Come on now. Are you with me? Okay? Okay? I'm assuming that. But I always put a flavor of the gospel in it just in case. If you don't know Jesus today, I invite you to know Him. Amen? That's wonderful. But now, with that said, and that as a base to draw off of, do we think that our nation is in a state of declining into decadence? Amen? Okay, okay. So, I'm not trying to make it out to be, but where do we find ourselves? Do we find ourselves? Now, we don't call it the temple. We call it church. But aside from that, are we seeking God? Now, I went a couple points ahead, and we'll get there again. What did Isaiah do? Isaiah, in the time of a tragedy, realizing what the nation was up against, he found himself before God, and it was that God, and that's why he said, "Here am I, Lord, send me," through that sequence that took place. Okay? Well, where do we find ourselves in the time of a national tragedy? Now, we might not think that we're in a national tragedy because we have all kinds of false indicators. People say, well, the stock market's doing well. Did you ever hear that lately? Huh? The economy's recovering. Let me just throw just something out here that ought to alarm every person in here. Since we all work on budgets, right? Do you work on a budget? Most of the time, when we were a young family, there was always more month than money, right? You understand that phrase? Our nation is close to $20 trillion in debt. Is that not a national tragedy? Now, come on, amen? Okay, we're in a national tragedy. That means that somewhere along the line, good-hearted people decided to spend more money than what we take in. Now, let alone just all the other tragedies are out there. So, you know what our course action is? Well, let's get the right people in Congress. Surely that'll turn our nation around. Well, let's get the right president in place, right? That'll turn our nation around. You say, Pastor, you're not patriotic. I want to face my life. I want you to face your life as an American citizen and a citizen of heaven. Watch this. With a biblical perspective. That's what Isaiah did. And Isaiah, I think he gives us the right answer. So we have a national tragedy. So do we? And don't get me wrong. We can vote. We ought to. We ought to stay informed of the affairs. But I will say this: there is a sequence in Isaiah 6 that ought to challenge every one of us. Believe it or not, we are faced with a national tragedy. I know we are a church and we have our services. The world has told us it's okay to exist as long as we don't get too radical. But in all reality, every time we open God's Word, we stand in stark contrast to this world and its values and its teachings. So number two is this, is what we're supposed to do, is what Isaiah did. He was seeking God. So the first one is national tragedy. Number two is seek God. And to tell you the truth, and I wrote this stuff down because what happens is I get thinking about things and then I miss things, but I just want to read my notes here to you. Most of the time we don't struggle with the fact of our nation's spiritual condition. Did you hear what I just said? Most of the time we really don't struggle with the fact of our nation's spiritual condition. And I think that's shame on us. Now, we might cast a downward look at the people who aren't at church today walking down the street that don't care. You drive by the golf courses and they're full on Sundays, and you know, you got the Lakeside Baptist, you got the Country Club Baptist, right? Right? Yeah, so what we do is they'll say, oh, I'm closer to God out there with a 9-iron in their hand. No, they're not, because they're probably cursing God because they missed the ball. Right? But here's the thing. Are we really concerned about our nation's spiritual condition? But we do struggle with our path to make a difference, or our path to take to make a difference. In my lifetime, we've seen Christians, through the forming of different power church organizations, become a political tool and a voting block. We began to follow the path of legislating morality and left the hearts of individuals unchanged. We have this great spiritual need around us. And God has called on the church to do something. And it's to seek Him. You say, well, that sounds real easy. Well, I think it's easier than what we think, but what we have to do is we have to shove an awful lot of stuff out of the way. Then number three is this. Now, this is what I think it's really great in Isaiah, is it's about seeking God, but it comes down to this of seeing God. And that's what happened to Isaiah. Isaiah, in a time of national tragedy, looked and saw the spiritual condition of his nation. He went and he sought God. And you know what happened? He saw God. That's different than seeking God. But you have to seek God to see God. I find that just completely novel. Because a lot of times what happens is we get caught so much up in the message of, the pastor gets up and says, we need to seek God. And everybody goes, yes, we need to seek God, yes. But are we seeking God to the point to where we see God? You say, oh no, now you're getting spooky on me. I just thought of this, okay? Why don't you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. This is one of the most challenging passages of Scripture to me. Hebrews chapter 11 says this. And let's get down to verse 27. And we're talking about Moses here in the Hall of Faith. The heroes of the faith. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If we're going to seek God, we need to see God. And when we see God, you know what it'll be? We will live our lives now seeing him who is invisible. That's what it comes down to. And you know what that means? That means, and when we look at the example of Moses there, that was every day in his life. I know this is vacation week. A lot of people are on vacation. I understand that. But when you go back to your place of employment, amen? Will you see God who is invisible in light of your coworkers and your job? Bible says that's the only way that Moses accomplished for God what Moses accomplished for God. Amen? That's what it says. He endured. Now, that word endured, let me ask you something. Is that a good word or a bad word? You say, well, it's a good word because pastor says it's got to be a good word. No, if you are enduring something, that does that mean that something good in your life is happening or something challenging in your life is happening? Challenging. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know what? You don't have to. There are some things that you easily endure because it's comfortable and it's happy and it's enjoyable. But that's usually not the things that we have to endure. So if I'm going to see God, that means that when I see God, that means an enduring is going to be taking place in my life. And what am I enduring? You say, well, pastor, all you talked about was the people going to work. What about our great host of retired people here? That's for you, too. You don't get a free pass today. Because the way I see it is God wants every one of us to seek him, to see him, so that our lives will be what God wants it to be to affect our nation. And you say, well, you're going to Congress? Yeah, you're going to vote Dave Dressler in. Oh, yeah, that'd be great, won't it? Yeah. I'll have an office here in Sunbury. You stop by and see me, we'll have coffee. I have an office here in Sunbury now if you ever want to stop by and see coffee, but I don't have anything to do with the state. But. Right? And then I find it interesting. You say, okay, now where's this going? Well, let's look at Isaiah, and what we had is he was seeing God, and as you look at what he saw, just absolutely incredible. The one song we sang this morning is Holy, Holy, Holy. Oh, yeah. And then Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, okay? But then we have, what happened to Isaiah? Verse 5, then said I, this is a wonderful experience, I'm going to write a book and share this. Right? That's what Isaiah said, right? No, he said, woe is me. And so what happened is now, in the sequence that we have laid out for us in Isaiah, we have this national tragedy. We have seeking God. We have seeing God. And when we see God, for how God wants to be seen, you know what's going to happen automatically? We're going to see ourselves in the proper light. Our problem is we don't see ourselves in the proper light. And what happens is, he said, well, Pastor, I'm coming to church. I want you to tell me I'm a good person. I want you to make me feel good. And so I can't do that. Because if we're going to see God for who he is, every time God is seen for who he is, you know what happens? Our goodness vanishes. And you know what happens? Our real need comes to the top. Now, let me just ask you this question. I ask this to you timidly because I don't want to seem bombastic and I don't want to seem like I'm a know-it-all. We're talking about Isaiah here, right? Isaiah's pretty much the cream of the crop, isn't he? Wouldn't you say Isaiah, the prophet, was the cream of the crop? If Isaiah has this tragedy in his life and he finds himself seeking God, he finds himself seeing God, and then when he says, what does he say? Lord, I'm ready for the task. Let me at him. Not what he said. He said, Lord, first of all, woe is me. Wow. And then I like what else he said. First of all, he talks about himself. And then he says, what's he say there? I am in the midst of a people of unclean lips, right? Is that what he says? I'm quoting it here just from on my knee, but I think it's pretty close. So he takes himself first, and then he brings not only himself, but he brings his country before God. And he doesn't, you know what? A lot of times if we're not careful, it's like, well, Lord, you know what? Our nation is absolutely a mess, and I'm trying. That's not what God says. God says, Dave, you are part of the problem. It's what he said. Why we're supposed to confess. Isaiah says, woe is me. Let's see what he says. I'll read it here again. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Wow. He's taking personal responsibility for the fact that he's not right with God. And yet he knew where to go. He got on his knees before God, and when he saw God, he saw there was a flaw in his life. Wow. You know, I was going to wait till the end of the message to say this, but 2 Chronicles 7:14, this mirrors 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. He's talking about if my people, God's people. And once again, I don't want to let the Bible say something that it doesn't. What is the burden that we carry around right now? Before you came in the door today, what is the burden that you carry? What are the thoughts that you have towards our nation, towards America? The solution for our country. I don't doubt that every person, every genuine Christian wants to see national revival, don't you? Don't you want to see where abortion is not promoted? Don't you want to see where great sinfulness is not exalted in our televisions? Amen? Don't you want to see where God is worshiped and he's not just something that we fall back on when somebody flies planes into some of our buildings and then everybody stands on the steps of Congress and says, we need to pray? Do you realize this, that even adult bookstores put on their sign after 9/11, God bless America? The ultimate oxymoron. Right? Amen? And yet the church is largely silent. in our day-to-day. Because you know what we want to do is, well, we think of just little ways that we can, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We need the power of God. We need the power of God in our lives. Amen? We need the power of God in our ministry. And we are not going to do that by organizing in a boardroom. We're going to do that by seeing God. Amen? And when we see God, you know what happens? He begins to change us. Now let's read the rest of that. And he said, "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It's the only time that Isaiah said that. And it's when he saw God. Too much of our life, watch this, and I mean this, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to burst your bubble. I want you to like me. That's okay. But you know what? Too much of our life is built around, our pastor. I said this up at Bakerberg, too. You can listen to the tapes. You know what? I want to be your pastor. But you know what? I am not God. Amen? I can remember when I was in ministry down in Tennessee, when the pastor went on vacation, I always got a little anxious. And when he got back, I always felt much better. That was a wrong attitude to have. You know why? Because I ought to be seeing God every day. Amen? I ought to be seeking His power in my life and His power in ministry. Amen? You know what I've come to realize? We're all... What's the word? No, see, the word is, we think, sometimes I've met people that thought the world wouldn't go on if they weren't around. We had this guy at Wood Moat, his name was Benny, great guy. He worked in receiving, and he measured all the stuff that came in and counted it and made sure it was right. And he would say, you know, if I'm not out to work, I don't know what's going to happen to Wood Moat. Well, we found out he died mowing his yard, died a premature, what we would call a premature death. Within 3 days, he had his position filled. None of us are indispensable. Is that the word I'm looking for? Is that the word I'm looking for? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, I want to be around. Don't get me wrong. I like it. Yeah, okay. But you know what? The person that we need to be seeing in our lives is not Pastor Dave, but the Lord Jesus Christ, high and lifted up. Amen? Oh, yeah. Do you realize this is... I wonder about people a lot of times, because as soon as let me put it this way, I've gone to Florida already, and I've spent a week with some of our folks from Bakerberg, and we were down there, and their neighbors always said, "Do you mean you enjoy it when your pastor comes and stays with you?" Right? You know what I'm talking about? Oh yeah. Well, you know what? All you got to do is throw a stick in the mud. Just say, "Oh, my pastor's coming in about 10 minutes. What's wrong with you? Right? I had this one guy, and he's a dear friend, and he has a business, and he's always on the phone, and I would stop in on Tuesdays after the nursing home that I did, and I would stop, talk to him for a half hour, 45 minutes. Sometimes we'd have a Pepsi together or something. And he always said to me, he goes, "You know, I'm always much nicer on the phone when you're here." And I would always laugh at him, and I'd cut him some slack. But you know what? When it comes down to it, Moses' example to us is just so powerful. He lived his life seeing God who was invisible. And that's the only way that he endured in this world. Amen? And so what we're looking at here now is, let's see if I got that in my pocket. Do you want to switch it for me? See, we confess our sinfulness, and then it comes down, we carry the message. See, a lot of times, and see, that's the sequence. And you say, well, why would you talk about the sequence? Because I think it's biblical. What we want to do is we want to get the message out right away. But we don't want to go through God's plan for the message. Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah, what we want to do is, okay, we can organize, we can do this. And you know what? Let's elect a bunch of officials, and we'll get in there, and we're going to change Congress. Brady's got to go to work, okay? He's not under conviction right now. He's going to the prayer room early. So if you want to meet him in the prayer room, we're going to have it over there. He's a great guy. So, yeah, yeah. I thought I'd let you know that. That's tough being up front, you know? But you know, here's what happens. And you might say, you're being facetious. I am not. I'm being dead serious. And you know what? We ought to desire. We ought to desire that when we carry forth the message, we carry it forth with God's power, not our cunning. For too many years in my lifetime, where I went to Bible college, they taught us, oh yeah, you got to be, and they didn't use the word cunning, but you know, one thing they did is, you know, when you give an invitation, you want to get altar workers, and when they start singing Just As I Am, your altar workers just start coming front, and that primes the pump, and then people want to come forward. No, that there you are trying to affect the results. And you know what happens? We become better. We become better in the area of manipulation than we do in the area of seeking and seeing God. Amen? Oh yeah. And what we need to do is what Isaiah did here. Is let's see, did I get all my other points in here? It is only after we have a proper view of God and ourselves that we will bring the right message. And that's what God wants us to do. Now, you say there's an awful lot of passages that you left untouched. Of course, but I want to briefly just touch on them. And then we're going to gather around the Lord's table here. And I don't have anything on your sheet for it because, see, I'll show you where I am. I'm right here. And I need to get right here. Okay, so that gives you some hope, right? You say, yes, thank you, Lord. So, and then see, the back's blank. But that's not this page. No, I'm fooling you. But Barnes Notes says this about verses 9 through 12, which we read 9 through 12, and it talks about a people that hear and can't understand, that can't see. That can see and can't perceive, right? Now, look what Barnes says about this. The expressions which follow are those which denote hardness of heart and blindness of mind. They would hear the words of the prophet, but they would not understand him. They were so obstinately bent on iniquity that they would neither believe nor regard him. This shows the spirit with which, and Barnes uses the word ministers because he's talking to ministers, but I'm going to change that because it should say this for my message today. This shows the spirit with which Christians must deliver the message of God. It is their business to deliver the message, though they should know it will neither be understood nor believed. And you say, well, Pastor, that's a defeatist view. No, because you have to realize this. Is that God is still in the business of saving souls. Amen? And it is not up to us to decide that. It is up to us to carry the message. That's what it is. And so let me ask you something today, as this is a God and Country Sunday. Our nation, are you and I about the task seeking God, seeing God, confessing our sin, my sin, your sin, our nation's sin, and then carrying forth the message? You will struggle carrying forth the message if you are unwilling to see God. That's what it comes down to. If you're carrying the message because I like my pastor, that's a wrong motivation. If you're carrying the message because you like First Baptist and the history, that's the wrong motivation. But if you're carrying the message because you see the Lord high and lifted up, amen? And his train filling the temple and his majesty and his glory, it's all the right reasons. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, you're so good to us.